Robinson, who's in the slot. Look in that direction on a slam. Huge hit. Ball picked off. The Volunteers of the Carroll make an interception. Jawan Mitchell. They call him Juju.
Discrepancy. Schuster, they were going to take a shot, but he's hit by Nelson. And Nebraska has picked up the football. Their first takeaway of the game.
Wells way down the field. It is into coverage. It is intercepted. It is over. LaMarion James has sealed the victory for Old Dominion. And fittingly, it comes on a takeaway.
Welcome back to Divvy IDP Grind. Hollywood, I'm joined by my co-host Justice. What's going on, man?
Not much, just enjoying this fine Monday afternoon.
Yes, it is a little cooler here in Tennessee, so it's fall-like weather, so to speak. Feels nice outside. So.
The only way it could have been better is if both our teams won on Saturday, but that was not to be.
Well, at least yours had a chance. Mine just shit the bed, so they get what they get. Good grief. Don't get me started on that, man. It was a weird college weekend. Lots of there were some upsets, and there were some really bizarre games. I guess if you want to say, I know we don't have it in the news and notes here, but Georgia struggled.
Weren't they down at halftime?
Yeah. Which I didn't expect to see out of South Carolina, right? I figured Georgia would completely run over them, and that didn't turn out to be the case. So.
Well, I mean, they made the, like any good team, they made adjustments in the second half and were able to get the win.
Right.
I didn't see much of that game, but I did watch quite a bit of the Alabama game, and yeah, they don't look good.
Yeah, I saw that Saban has declared that Milroe's going to be the starter again. I guess they went through the gauntlet of quarterbacks they have, and
I mean he's probably the best of the three options, but I still don't know that. My personal opinion is they ain't making the playoffs this year.
I would agree. I think they lose. I think they lose a couple more games at least.
Yeah, I bet you. I think they end up with like three losses probably.
Yeah. Just a weird weekend all around. Cornerback. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I could see him losing this week to Ole Miss.
Well. Ole Miss is ranked 15th, and they're 13th, so I wouldn't put it past Ole Miss.
I mean, Ole Miss always plays them tough, right? And it always seems to be a shootout, and Alabama can't get into a shootout. They'll lose.
Oh, gosh, no. No, no. If they get into a shootout, they're toast. So, Colorado State, the Buffaloes keep winning. Travis Hunter, though, if you watch the game, he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. And the last I saw is it was a lacerated liver. So he's out 3 to 4 weeks with an egregious hit from Colorado State defender. If you watch the game, he kind of launched and hit into him and just wasn't a good look all around. I mean, you were kind of talking about before we jumped on, how do you officiate? How do you decipher some of these? Some of these are, like I said, they're blatant launching hits, right? If you watched the Kareem Jackson on Denver yesterday, just no way that they're saying he's not going to be suspended. Well, that shouldn't happen. He clearly left his feet and launched into John Banks and about took him out. So, I mean, those type of plays you got to eliminate. I don't know. With such a fine line, I don't know how you decipher which ones is legit targeting, which ones is not, because we've seen that since they've instituted this rule that it's hard to.
Yeah, that game Saturday night, I felt like the referees just didn't. They should have taken control much earlier in the game. I feel like there was unnecessary extracurriculars on both sides of that ball Saturday.
It wasn't a good look.
And I don't know, and I'm not saying that the hit on Hunter was bad or it was you know legit, or I'm not saying that at all, but I do feel like, and maybe this is what it needs to be, but I feel like they're making such a big deal about that one hit, right? That kind of overblowing it, but maybe that will help. If that helps get attention to solve the problem, then I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah, sometimes it takes the wrong one to get enough attention to fix everything or the potential to try to work on everything. So we'll see what comes out of it. But yeah, it seems like it's not just college. Like I said, the NFL, they're having the same problem, right? They're throwing the flag for personal foul, but they're not wanting to give the targeting. And
well, college is calling the targeting and then going and reviewing it.
Right.
Even in that same game we were talking earlier, like that hit by Kamara at the end, was it a late hit? Absolutely. I didn't necessarily feel it was targeting, though, because I felt like when he hit him, he turned his head to the side. And so, I don't know, to me, targeting is very clearly has to be the crown of the helmet. And so I don't understand how, if his head is turned to the side, how the crown of the helmet, it didn't make contact. But they called it targeting, so it is what it is. But
definitely, yeah, I think
it was definitely a late hit for sure. Unnecessary roughness, 100%.
Right. I think for me, just my personal preference here, the crown of the helmet is so tricky because a lot of times you're making a tackle with your shoulder, and if you don't make a legit move to get your head turned to the side, which is dangerous in itself, I think, because you can hurt your neck right there, right?
The thing to me that bugs me about the whole rule is when the offensive ball carrier lowers his head and he's the one that causes the helmet-to-helmet contact, that should be a penalty on him, right? You can't sit there and penalize a defensive player when the offensive player caused the issue. And you see that happen too, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's to me, I think the launching aspect of it is a little more intentional than the crown to, you know, crown to crown helmet hitting. But I guess it's all in how you view it. And it's a judgment call, I guess, as they say. So, and I don't know how you legislate or try to eliminate some of that, but it is what it is for now, though. SMU, I seen this that you put on there. SMU raised $100 million in 7 days to help with their transition to the ACC. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be getting any money. So for what's, I think it's 7 years. Media rights money, I guess, is the correct way to say it. They'll still get money. They'll get money from bowl games, money from NCAA basketball tournament, et cetera. They just won't get any of the ESPN media deal money.
That's basically $14 million a day they raise.
It's not surprising, right? I would imagine there's a lot of oil and gas money down there in Texas that comes from SMU. So, I'm not completely shocked that they were able to do that. I mean, I think in the long run, right? There, it's to their benefit to be in the ACC.
Yeah, even if it is a little geographical.
The one thing I don't think that I've heard, but I don't think it's going to fly too well, is the ACC saying, hey, maybe we'll move our tournaments to Texas or something. And I mean, I get you trying to be nice to your three new members, but you're inconveniencing what, like 16, 15 other members who are all on the East Coast, right? I mean, I feel like the ACC has tried that, right, where they've tried to move the ACC basketball tournament to New York City and done other things. I don't know. I don't know that it would be a great move for the ACC to do that.
Right. Remains to be seen, I guess. But it is a lot of money, though. After 3 weeks of the college football season, four if you count the week zero, they are seven teams that remain winless. East Carolina, UConn, Virginia, who is just terrible, Sam Houston State, Nevada, Buffalo, and Colorado State. Honestly, I think Virginia is the worst out of that group.
I'd say it's between, well, I think Virginia would beat East Carolina. So,
yeah. I don't know, man. They're horrible.
East Carolina is pretty bad, too. I mean, Colorado State's a good team, you know. But then, you know, they play Washington State and Colorado, so you can't really blame them there. I mean, Virginia lost to JMU, lost to Tennessee, lost to Maryland. I'm not sure who Connecticut's played. I don't feel like – I mean, the rest of them, I feel like they're – I don't think they're bad teams.
No, Sam Houston's – this is just year two for them in the
– Year one.
After moving up. So.
Year one.
Year one, sorry. So, I mean, there's some – troubles to be expected with them, right? Making that jump, but
Connecticut hasn't looked good, and they lost their starting quarterback, I think, last week. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if any of these seven will be able to win this week, but that's your seven teams that are winless as of right now. The Pac-12's remaining two members, Oregon State, Washington State, has officially taken legal action against the 10 departing members to prevent them from making any decisions about the future of the conference. I completely agree with this. I fully support this. If you're leaving the conference, then you shouldn't have any say or any rights as to what the future of this conference is or the teams that want to stay or whatever they're doing with it. I think when you say we're out and you tell everybody you're leaving and you've already accepted membership to another conference, your rights for that conference, as far as the future goes, is immediately up.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, it's kind of dumb that they even have to, like, get a ruling that's the way it should be, right? But
well, that's the society we live in. You have to get everything written in paper or some kind of rule, or that's just the way things are.
So East Carolina plays Gardner Webb this week. If they don't win that game, they very well may not win a game all year. UVA plays NC State. Colorado.
That's a loss.
Colorado State plays Middle Tennessee. That should be a good game. Middle Tennessee is a decent team as well. Let's see who else we got. Let's see who Connecticut plays. Connecticut plays Duke. That's a loss.
That's a loss, yeah.
Sam Houston plays Houston.
That's a loss, should be.
I would think it's a loss, but Houston hasn't looked good either. So,
no, they haven't.
I feel like Sam Houston's defense has looked really good. Trevor Williams is one of the leaders in tackles in FBS.
That's what I was about to say. He looked pretty decent this year so far. Now, he was hurt last year and missed some time, but
We think he was hurt, but, you know, I think probably he was that they redshirted so many guys last year to save them for this year. So I wonder if that wasn't like part of the plan for him last year.
Maybe we need to get him back on and ask him.
Nevada plays Texas State. That should be a loss for Nevada. And then the last was, let's see, Buffalo plays. Buffalo plays Louisiana. In Louisiana, it should be a good game. I think it probably depends on if Louisiana's starting quarterback is back, or they have to go with the freshman once again. So they at least should have a shot, I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of Buffalo and tackling, man, Sean Dolak has not looked. I mean, his numbers aren't terrible, but they aren't Sean Dolak numbers.
No, they are not. Not what we're used to seeing, anyway.
So I don't know. I mean, last year he had James Patterson back there with him, and this year, you wouldn't think that would really affect his numbers, but yeah, he's not. I mean, he's getting eight tackles a game, whereas last year he was averaging double digits, I'm sure.
Yeah, he was close to 11 per game, I want to say.
Yeah, this year my guess is he's closer to like 7 per game, so almost half.
Yeah, which is not horrible, but considering he had done before.
Right, most places, I'm assuming if you drafted him, it wasn't like a dynasty league or something, he was probably one of the first few linebackers off the board. And he's, at least from a college production standpoint, and he's definitely not living up to that expected production, not as of yet anyway.
No, he's sure not. I've actually working on my rankings, IDP Devy rankings, and I've moved him down a few spots. I try not to overreact to any huge game or to any really bad game, but like you said, he's not, so far this season, he's not been what we're used to seeing. So I've had to move him down just a little bit. Maybe he gets back on track pretty soon. I found this one. So after years of decline nationwide in high school, right, of football players, there's been I'd seen this before, I guess the numbers of players that are actually playing high school football was on a downward trend for some time. And this really started back right around COVID, just before or whatever. But last season, it was up 5.6%, which was more than double any other high school sport. So that's promising. It looks like these athletes and players are starting to come back to playing football again.
Yep, good news.
And then Reese's Senior Bowl Defensive Player of the Week was Tyron Hopper of Missouri. He had 8 tackles, 6 solos, 2 quarterback hits, 2 PBUs, and 1 TFL, which is a good segue into our Players of the Week. And you decided to be a homer again this week.
I couldn't avoid it, man. I couldn't avoid it this week. I didn't necessarily want to, but I feel like I didn't really have much of a choice, man. I mean, when it's only the 7th time something's happened in history, I think it deserves some recognition. So,
oh yeah, I absolutely agree with you. So you had Lamarion James, the corner for Old Dominion, 3 tackles, 2 solos, a 66-yard interception return for a touchdown, and an 80-yard fumble return for a touchdown. And he added 4 kick returns for 79 yards. He was a huge part of y'all being in that game.
I mean, he outscored the offense. He scored 14 points. The offense only scored 10.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is a huge game. And as you alluded to, he's the 7th player in FBS history to return an interception and a fumble for a touchdown in the same game. Which is, I imagine if you had him on your fantasy rosters, that's some major points for the week.
He did. I don't think he's not rostered in any, and he just missed the free agent. He was like 4th in DBs, but he scored like 29 points this week.
Wow. That's insane. And then my player of the week coincidentally came from the same game. But it was on the other side, so I took Jacob Roberts, the linebacker from Wake Forest. He had a well of a game, 13 tackles, 4 more solo, so you kind of wonder about the assisted ones there. but he had four TFLs and three sacks. He was a problem for Old Dominion all game.
He was. Once again, we talked earlier about adjustments for Georgia. Well, Wake Forest made some pretty big adjustments in that second half, and on the defensive side, they limited. I want to say ODU only had like 23 yards of total offense in the second half. They allowed 10 sacks. It was bad. It was bad. I don't know what else to say about it, you know. And Roberts was the one leading the way, you know.
Yeah, he was anytime you can have that kind of an impact on a game, it's certainly worth looking at, right? Especially in IDP. I don't know if – I'd have to go back and look and see if Roberts is available. I'm sure he's available in some ways.
Absolutely. He's a transfer up. He was a FCS All-American in 2019 and 2021. He was all Big South. Who did he play for? I'm looking at the Wake Forest. Was it North Carolina Central?
North Carolina Central. Yes, that's who it was. Yes.
So he played for North Carolina Central and then transferred up this year. He was a freshman All-American in 2019, a sophomore All-American in 21. His career, he had 218 tackles, 29.5 TFLs, and 9.5 sacks, 5 interceptions, 6 block kicks, 10 PDUs, and 32 games there for North Carolina Central.
Yeah, he's quite the find for them so far, it seems like. So, and I think we're starting to see a little more of this, these players coming from Division II, right? When they really show out at Division II, they kind of want to take their career somewhere where it can get a little more exposure, a few more eyes, a little bit better competition. So I think we're seeing a lot more of that, and I think teams are looking for that too, right? They can bring these players in to help plug some holes from players that's graduated or went on to the NFL. So. Yeah. But, yeah, big shout-out to Jake Roberts, linebacker for Wake Forest, and Lamarion James, corner for Old Dominion, our WIDP Grind Players of the Week. Look for them in your fantasy leagues if they're available. Maybe they can help your rosters out.
And if you play in a league that does kick returns, you know, Lamarion James is the kick – Lamarion James is a kick returner for Old Dominion too, so that's some bonus points there.
No, yeah, big bonus points. So especially if you've got that type of home run ability, right, where you can.
He does. Take him to the house. I mean, the bowl game against Tulsa 2 years ago, the Myrtle Beach Bowl. He started off that game with a 103-yard kickoff return for a touchdown for Old Dominion. So, yeah, anytime James touches the ball, he definitely has the ability to take it all the way. I was hoping maybe they could, and this is before Travis Hunter, but kind of use him both ways just because of that ability. But to date, they haven't done that. So,
right. We want to thank our sponsors, Trophy Smack, for supporting us in our listener leagues. They kind enough to donate some rings for our league winners. So we thank them for that. We want to thank MyFantasyLeague.com for supporting our NFL side of our Camps Camp leagues and our IDP Nation leagues. And then Fantrax, of course, does the college side right now. They're where we have our listener leagues for that. So, but they've got a lot of information like rostered percentage, started percentage, you know, percent picked up from the previous week. So I like looking at some of those numbers that they have. And then, Action 24 betting for Tennesseans, by Tennesseans. Got all the odds just like the big boys. You can bet on anything from baseball to basketball to ping pong and darts. So football season's full swing. So drive by there and see, bet on your favorite team, and hopefully you'll make a bunch of money. and use the promo code Hollywood100 when you make your deposit. We are now to your section, the Fantasy Corner, where you break down each week the top scores from some of our listener leagues and some leagues that we're all kind of in together. Again, you'll see some names kind of duplicated, so he may not run through them every one on each league, but you kind of get the drift. So, yeah. Justice, I'll let you take off.
Yeah, the as usual, just like kind of like last week, we'll get through two leagues where we have different names, and then we'll start repeating names again. But as always, we start off with our Devy IDP Grind Listener League. It's a 16-team position-specific league. So we start D-tackle, DN, linebacker, cornerback, and safety. The top defensive end, no shocker here, came from that same game as our Players of the Week, and that was Jasheen Davis from Wake Forest, who had a couple sacks in that game against Old Dominion. But he scored 25 points. The top defensive tackle, and I'm happy to see this because this guy was a top scorer last year, but up until this point, he hadn't done much at all, is Mason Richards at North Texas with 16 points. The top ID player from a score perspective this week in most leagues was Danny Stutzman, linebacker from Oklahoma. Hopefully you listened to us last year when we did our conference preview, and Choppy was raving about Mr. Stutzman on that conference preview. And he showed out last year, and he just picked up where he left off, man. He looks like a stud, you know. And then his running mate there, Jaron Kanak, is another, I think, stud guy and has some great NFL potential as well. The top cornerback, he was started as a cornerback, but in reality, the guy's a safety. It's Kenny Logan for Kansas with 17.5 points. And the top safety was Hunter Wohler, Wisconsin, with 29 points. I think he's had back-to-back weeks of like 10 tackles. So, you know, positive there for him. Moving to the Campus Canton League that Chop runs, it's a 20-team league, generic defense league. Top defensive lineman was Dallas Turner, who finally showed some signs of life this week against South Florida. He had 24.5 points. The top linebacker was Aaron Casey, Indiana, 27 points. He's kind of stepped into that Cam Sims role and leading Indiana from the middle linebacker spot. And then the top defensive back, he was also really buoyed up on points by a fairly long interception return for a touchdown, and that was Shiloh Sanders from Colorado with 31 points. He didn't have a lot of tackles, but obviously with that long interception for return for a touchdown, that got him – I don't remember how long it was, but I feel like it – So that's 8 points there in yards plus the 6 points for a touchdown. So that's 14 of his 31 points just came on that one play. Yeah. All right. These next two leagues I'll kind of go through quickly just because these are repeat names. Legends, 16-team league, generic defense. The defensive lineman was Dallas Turner. Linebacker, once again, Stutzman. And the DB was Shiloh Sanders. And Toonland is a 24-team generic league. Stutzman and Sanders, again, were the top linebacker and DBs. And Mr. Jasheen Davis was the top defensive lineman. So now we'll talk about some guys who finished week three who are free agents in our Devy IDP Grind Listener League, but were the top scorers available for week three. The first was Price Yates from Connecticut with 21.5 points, defensive end. Then defensive end, Prince Dorba from Arizona State with 23 points. And I'm a little bit surprised this next guy is a free agent just because he was such a high-profile recruit. And that's defensive tackle TJ Sanders out of South Carolina with 25 points.
Yeah.
The linebackers, Mr. Player of the Week, Jake Roberts, Wake Forest, 33 points as a free agent in the league. Linebacker Chase Klein, Eastern Michigan, with 33 points. And then Alec Mock, a linebacker from Air Force, with 32 points. And going on to the DBs, the top DB this week was Tobias Fletcher from Coastal Carolina with 40 points. This next one, I'm surprised that Hollywood didn't pick him up after week one, but he's a free agent in our Lister League, and that's Shiloh Sanders from Colorado with 39 points. And then
– yeah, I've got him in a couple places, but I think the reason I didn't pick him up in that league is because I had a little too many IDPs, so I need a little more help on offense in that league. So
yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Sanders – both Sanders, TJ – and Shiloh are both added this week in that league. And then next, the last defensive back, formerly of Old Dominion and East Carolina. He was East Carolina and went to Old Dominion, left Old Dominion after last season as a grad transfer and went down to NC State. And that's Robert Kennedy with 37.5 points. As I mentioned, Lamarion James kind of just missed the cut there. He was the next. It would have been next in line if we went four deep for free agents with 29 points. So those are kind of some of the top free agents on a weekly basis. Some other free agents you might look at from a season long basis. You know, we talked about Hunter Wohler, if he's still available in your leagues. Any other ones you want to mention, like from a season long Hollywood? Bryce Houston from Ohio. He's been a tackle machine.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned Price Yates. He's one that I kind of found. I know he's a defensive tackle, but I found him late last season and picked him up in a spot or two because he's so young, right? So he's still got a lot of eligibility. And if you're playing in some position-specific leagues like we do, there's usually a premium. So really kind of – he plays for in a week conference, right? So there's going to be some opportunities for him to make plays. So just kind of a pick, like catching lightning in a bottle a little bit. So, I try to, if I find a player, I try to, if I've got room, of course, it doesn't always work out. But if I have room, then I try to pick them up and stash them, especially if they're kind of really young like that, because then maybe next year they take that next step and have the breakout, and well, you're already there, so you don't have to scramble to try to get them, in a bid or waiver wire order fight or whatever it is. So,
yeah. Maybe next week we'll start looking at we'll be 4 weeks in, and we can start looking at kind of like the season to date stuff, right? Where it makes some of the nuance goes away with guys having one big week and then doing nothing. So, yeah, that's it for week three fantasy IDP and college fantasy football.
Yeah, there's like you said, week 4 weeks in the book, maybe we'll get a more clear picture of what's going on once these, because by then now teams are starting to settle down just a little bit. So
right. And another one we talked about earlier, Trevor Williams, Sam Houston State linebacker, man, has been a tackle machine. I don't know off the top of my head what he's averaging, but I feel like it's somewhere between 12 and 14 tackles a game. If he's available, I'd be trying to snatch him up for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Just trying to look at some free agents that's out there.
Some cheat code guys, CJ Taylor, Vanderbilt linebacker DB, DeRicky White Vanderbilt linebacker DB, Colby Fuqua linebacker DB Jacksonville State. Those are Aaron Beasley linebacker DB Tennessee, Jeffrey Bossa linebacker DB Oregon. Those are kind of the ones that come immediately to my head in terms of, hey, these guys are I think in all reality, except for maybe DeRicky White, they're really, really linebackers, but they got defensive back eligibility. I mean, I feel like DeRicky White's kind of a hybrid player, right? But I feel like these other guys are mostly – they're mostly playing linebacker. But yet they got DB eligibility. I'll tell you a guy that's really disappointed this year, Maxon Hook. Safety out of at Toledo, man. He didn't even play this past week. He hadn't done nothing. Anything, you know, prior to this week. So I think I'm cutting bait with him. The places where I own him, moving on for better options.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he was a fancy darling, right? Especially to mine. I think you might have had him in a place or two.
Yeah.
He was just doing so well. So for the just complete fall off here, I'm not sure why that's happening. I don't know if they've got better players out there now, or I don't know. Maybe that's something we need to try to dig into. But yes, he is definitely one that's each week I've kind of been moving him down. So
and like what about
I hate to overreact to a week or two, but when it's 3-4 weeks in a row, then you've kind of got to start making your adjustments.
When you only play 10 weeks, man, it's every week's important.
Exactly.
Another one of my favorites, he lost his DB eligibility, but he's been lighting it up still, and that's Salopic, the linebacker. Was it Miami, Ohio, or Ball State? I get him confused.
Miami of Ohio, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, even though he lost his DB eligibility, which sucks, he's certainly putting up enough numbers that you can start him at linebacker. I want to say I think he had like 14 tackles this past week, something like that, 12 to 14. So,
yeah, he had a high number for sure. Yeah, there's some players that are, they're not been performing up to the standards that we've seen them play up to. So, and like you said, I think one of our better shows is when we talk about strategy, right? So you kind of mentioned it. You know, we kind of like these players like Max and Hook and whatever, but if you're not careful, your fandom or whatever you want to call it can kind of get you in trouble if you hang on too long, because you've only got 10 weeks, right? And if we're already week three in the books,
yep.
Sometimes you got to cut ties and do what's right for your roster, or you're really going to be in trouble, like you said.
Yeah, like kind of like you said in the Devy IDP grind in the listener league. Like I'm kind of in that same boat in the Campus Canton League, where I my depth on defense didn't exist because I had so many offensive players, and I paid the price. I'm 0-3, even though, like, I think, like, it's a 20-team league and I'm the fifth highest scorer, you know, I'm still 0-3, so that's not good. So I've had to last week and this week I'll be having to make some changes to try to shore up my defense a little bit. This week I didn't get outscored on defense. I outscored my opponent by 20, but, you know, when he had a 40-point lead on offense, that still ain't going to get you the W. So I've made strides. The first 2 weeks, my defensive team got outscored pretty bad. So at least, hell, last week I played Choppy and he doubled me. His defense doubled my score. Now he had a freaking crazy week. He had like 180 some points and my defense was like average 90 points. So like, I feel like the average in that league's around 100 points. Wasn't like my defense wasn't like terrible, but I mean there's two owners that scored 180 points on defense in that league last week, which is just like insane for that league. Like normally like the high of the week is like 120.
Yeah. I actually need to go see what my defense had scored this week in some of my leagues.
Your defense actually scored decent, and I'm thinking C to C. Give me 1 second, I can tell you what you got ahead. You scored 102.5. You were led by Mr. Salopic and Colin Oliver. So yeah, I mean, Choppy's defense went nuts again. He was the highest scorer. He had 144.
Good grief.
Every single player on his team except for one scored double digits. Every single player.
Wow.
That's
pretty balanced.
And the only player that didn't score double digits was a DB, Elijah Clark, who scored 9 points. So
no way. Boo-hoo for him.
Yeah.
I know we're IDP, but man, Bryson Barnes for Utah screwed me this past week. And I guess it's my fault.
Quarterback's got me too.
Rising was out, Rising was out again. So I thought, okay, Barnes is going to be the guy. No, they went with their third quarterback, which I was like, ugh. In time I realized it was too late to change my roster, and I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
Well, I can't tell you how many leagues I started the combination of Donovan Smith at Houston and Tyler Shook at Texas Tech. Now, Houston, they just looked freaking terrible. I think he scored a whopping 6 points for me. And Shook, they won the game, and I knew it was going to be a blowout, but I figured he'd get some points. Well, he didn't do that before he got pulled, and I think I don't even know if I scored 15 points combined from my two quarterbacks. So that led to my demise in quite a few leagues starting that combination.
Yeah. Yeah. So, quick rundown. I'm 2-1 in Legends. In the WIDP grind, I'm 2-1. And I play Mr. Dwight Peoples, who won the college side last season. And then
he's undefeated.
Yeah, he's undefeated. And Campus to Canton, I'm 1-2. And then in Brock's
college
all-star was offensive only. I'm 6-0, so I've done something.
in all the IDP leagues, though, we have the scores haven't been adjusted yet, so we'll see.
True, very true.
So you might not.
Yeah.
Did you already have one loss in the IDP grind, or were you undefeated?
No, I think I had it. Let's see.
Or was it a loss from this week? Let's see. Because you might still be
undefeated. I had a loss.
Let's see. No, your loss came from this week. Well,
you
probably did lose because you're down almost 100 points without the defensive scores, and I can't believe – I doubt you played Sal. His defense scored 171. I don't think you made up 100 points on him. Let's see. Your defense scored 132. So, yeah, you'll be 2-1.
Yeah, because this was the league I started Bryson Barnes in, one of them. So, not that he would have made up the whole thing, but – still.
Oh, there it is. Tyler Shook got me 14 points, and Donovan Smith got me a whopping 4 points. It was a it was a rough week for me. I mean, I squeaked out the win. I squeaked out the win by, well, I don't know what the defense scored. I'm pretty sure my defense outscored his, but yeah. I mean, it looks like I'd have played almost any other team in the league, and I would have lost this week. Except for maybe like two other teams. So there's just so much luck in fantasy football, I feel like, right? I mean, you talked about All-Stars.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm the high points man by like 100 points over the next highest team, but I'm only 4-2, you know? And so, yeah, so much luck in who you play each week.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have talked about best ball being the way to go, but I kind of understand that
best ball. I mean, like the All-Stars is best ball. It has more. The luck part is who you're playing against, right? I mean, to be the highest scoring team in a 24 team league by over 100 points and have two losses, like, that's just luck of the draw, you know. Yeah. And then there's a team that's undefeated, that's six, not you, but another team that's 6-0, and I've scored 100, 200, 300 more points than that team, but yet they're undefeated. It's just,
yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's all about who you play. You're exactly right.
It's the luck of the draw sometimes.
Yeah, and there's actually, he's in third place because of the points scored. So 1852, there's actually one, yeah. Two.
Well, hell, there's three teams in his own division that score more points than him, but they're not undefeated.
6, 7, 8. There's actually 8 teams. Oh, 9, because one of them's got him by 0.1. So we won't count that one because it's so close. But there's 8 teams that are below him that have outscored him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's just that's the luck of fantasy football. You know, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'm currently sitting second. No. I am sitting fourth in points.
Okay. I'd say the worst you can be third in record, but with records, you're what, second or first?
I'm second in record. Well,
second. Yeah, the other guy. But the other guy's only got you about 3 points. The other guy is 6-0.
Yeah. And if you look, he's given up almost 150 points less. So,
again, it's luck, man. It's maybe that's luck.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wonder.
He's given up 1560, and I gave up 1700 almost. But
I was going to say, what are my points against? Where am I at in that category? Oh, not too.
Who are you? I then forgot.
East Carolina, 1647.
Oh yeah.
So I think what's happened with me is I played one, because we played two doubleheaders in that league. I think I play. Yeah. It seems like I'm playing one heavy hitter and then one really, really bad team every week. So my points against is kind of they cancel each other out.
Yeah, which in that league we've got not yet. I started to say we've got a couple that's close, but nobody's gave up 2,000 points yet. So we've got a few that's close, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Baseball just seems so, I don't know, impersonal or whatever. You basically draft your players and you're done, right? I mean, other than, maybe some trades or some waiver wire stuff, you're not, you don't have to do anything.
Well, in best ball, you can't do best ball with IDP because the scoring on Fantrax for IDP is so bad that it'd be a nightmare. Like Chop has talked about moving his leagues to that, and I was like, well, you're gonna have to figure out the scoring because I ain't doing it, because with all the different position eligibilities, and it'd be an absolute nightmare to score the IDP in a best ball league unless you just strictly made it like generic. In other words, you just start at 9 IDPs or something, regardless of what position they are.
Oh yeah.
Because, because if a guy has, like Jordan Strachan, for instance, who had defensive line, linebacker, and defensive back eligibility, okay, well, what position do you assign him to? When you're looking at best ball, right? Trying to figure that out and all the different combinations. Yeah, that'd be a nightmare.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not something that I'd want to try to decipher or get into for sure.
You know, one solution that some of my leagues do, now they're not defensive leagues, but they do for the offense. I am in a defensive league that does this. We have to post on like the league chat or whatever each week. And we can say these, like my linebacker sub is this person. My defensive line sub is this person, where we get to name somebody. Right. So that if someone doesn't play, at least we kind of have that sub available to us. And that works pretty well. It's easy to do,
Right.
If a guy doesn't play, then you put the sub in. And so it works pretty well. And if someone doesn't list a sub, then they don't get a sub, right? So.
Right.
That's what I told Brock he should do if he wants to do something.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be the right way to go. Just the multiple positions and stuff would be, like you said, that'd just be an absolute nightmare. So not something that I'd want to tackle, not something that I'd want anybody to have to tackle, really, because that's a lot of work. So
some breaking news real quick. Michigan State has informed Mel Tucker that they are firing him for cause.
Ooh. So,
that's
– ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, another piece here. Blender's Eyewear, which, if that sounds familiar, that's the eyeglass company that Coach Prime Tom Sanders uses. And they have already brought in $4.5 million on the pre-sale order for Sanders glasses. Is that not insane?
Yeah. That's,
I mean, yeah. They're eating up everything literally, but the man does.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of told you a little bit, before the show we recorded, when I was watching that Colorado game, that I had to mute the TV. Like the announcers were just, it was just a bit too much for me. The love that they were giving to that team. And I don't know, like, you expect that when you're listening to like the home team announcers, right? But this is a national broadcast, and I don't know. I couldn't listen to it anymore. I had to mute the TV to watch the game.
Well, like I told you, I agreed with you, right? And
yeah,
today I'm, and it wasn't just today. It's been ever since he's went to Colorado, you know, starting with the big theatrical spring game, and today I'm looking for news and notes, and everywhere I turned, it's all about Dion this, you know, Colorado that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I think a lot of it is being force-fed to us, and it just becomes so monotonous, and it kind of makes you want to tune yourself out to it, even though some of it is kind of interesting. But I think Dion is, he's so intriguing, right? He's kind of.
We talked about it in the spring game, right? All the and the, what the fuss they were making in the spring game at Colorado, that it was a sign of what's to come, right?
Exactly, and he's so in your face and so confident. He's confident. That's his thing. He's not caught. Well, he is caught, but he's confident too, right? And that's kind of starting to bleed over to his coaches and to his teams, and he's such a marketing phenomenon back when he was prime time, right? So now you're seeing it again. It's good for him. It's good for the school. It's good for his team, right? I mean, he's bringing them plenty of attention and recognition and money and this. So I get it, but I'm kind of with you. When I'm watching the game, it's just a little – it's a little too much to bear, for sure.
Speaking of,
is that Dion calling you now?
No, it's not Dion calling me. you know, we talked about that. We talked about that that hit earlier on Travis Hunter, and you know, here's a flip side of it that's not okay either. Is that people have been sending death threats to that player and his family. So someone went on the internet. Someone went on the internet and published his cell phone number, his parents' cell phone number, his personal address, his parents' personal address on the internet. And like, people just, I don't know, man. Like, that's not cool either, right? Like, it, you know.
No.
Over football, right? Like,
I mean, the kid made a mistake. I mean, right? We all know it. He made a mistake. I'm sure he knows it. He's probably been talked to about this already.
Yeah.
But there's no use to get into his personal life with phones and addresses, and just we all know what the situation is. it's over with. It happened. Let's move on from it. But unfortunately, there's people out there that just, I don't know what they're, I don't want to know what they're thinking when they do shit like that. But
well, people are just crazy, man. The world's crazy.
Yeah, it sure is. And I don't know that I can take it. Our five-star topic for this week is our thoughts and impressions from the past week. It seems like we've talked about this all 3 weeks, but Iowa linebacking group, you know, Nick Jackson, Jay Higgins. First week it was Jay Higgins and everybody was freaking out. What happened to Nick Jackson? And last week, or the next week, he was back. And then this week they kind of evened each other out, right? So, yeah. And I kind of said, I think that's going to be the normal, you know, one. There's going to be some weeks where one or the other is going to have a huge week, but I think for the most part, they're going to kind of be equal.
Yeah, I think they're both startable in league. So,
We talked about Colorado a lot, but can they support two fantasy safeties? We think they can, and Shiloh Sanders and Trevor Woods. Their tackle numbers aren't really high, but like we said,
They were in week one, but the last 2 weeks they've been what, like five-ish, six-ish, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Of course, Shiloh had the big interception return for a touchdown, which boosted his fantasy points. So, and then you got Juwan Mitchell led him in tackles
this week. Yeah, and then he had like
15 the previous two games.
Right, he had 15 tackles against Colorado State, and I don't even know if he had one tackle in the previous two games. And so Juwan Mitchell's from, you know, transfer from Tennessee.
Yeah. So, which he did nothing down here in his time in Tennessee. So I'm glad to see him.
Well, he did do something and doing something. He's on our intro for that interception.
Well, he did, but I mean, for the most part, you know, it was kind of a big miss here, or it just never panned out for him down here. But I'm glad to see him go somewhere else and have some relevance again. Our boy Caleb Downs got absolutely trucked this week by Naquan Wright. And
did you see that hit?
After it was over, it was nasty. It was nasty. You better believe his head's going to be on a swivel from here on out because he got hammered.
Yes, he did. Ugh. Lost his lunch.
No wonder he lost his lunch. Yeah, because that makes me want to lose mine. Ooh.
But
it was rough. But he'll learn from it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all over ESPN.
Yeah, if you've not seen it, just know that it's something because he flat got ran over.
He did. It reminded me of like, you know, the train's coming down the tracks, buddy, and he was in the way. He was in the way, and that locomotive just kind of bulldozed him right on over, buddy. It was bad.
Whit Weeks, LSU true freshman, led the Tigers with 8 tackles. 2 of them were solos, so got to keep an eye on that. And then Jordan Castile, the safety for Florida, true freshman, led the Gators with 10 tackles. Only 2 of those were solo, and he had a PBU. So that's 2 names to kind of watch going forward maybe. Young guys that's got a lot of eligibility left, so.
So the reason why Weeks got so much play and time this week is Omar Speets was out. So kind of pay attention to that against Arkansas. I think they play Arkansas this week. Right now they're saying Speets is probable, but he didn't play this past week. So, you know, kind of if you're picking up Whit Weeks and expect him to do that on a weekly basis, that's not a good bet. Now, from a dynasty perspective, sure.
No, but I think
– but. He's not really a play for this year.
Because I think you're playing the long game with Weeks, right? Well, Castile, too, because Speets is a senior, so he's going to be gone after this season. So, you know, next year is probably where you're looking for Weeks to be consistent anyway.
Yep, absolutely.
kind of it on the. Did you have anything else you wanted to look back on for last week
before we moved to next week? No, not really. Like, I mean, there were upsets, you know, but there wasn't any
there was a number of upsets.
There wasn't really any super, like, what I thought big games, right? You know, there were no top 25 matchups. We talked about the about the Alabama game. They didn't look great. We talked about Georgia. Yeah, I mean, but there certainly is – there's certainly plenty of top 25 matchups this week to make up for this past week.
Yeah, so coming into this week, week four, I got a full slate of them. So some of the afternoon and late games, you may have to pick one or be really good at flipping your channels. But they're going to kick off the day with number four FSU at Clemson. That's on ABC at noon. You're going to have I'm going to really watch this. I know we've kind of bashed on Colorado a little bit, but I think I'm going to watch this because this is going to be a telltale of just how good they are, right? Well, they're going to travel to Oregon.
I was going to say, you just look at the line, and you can tell what Vegas – Vegas doesn't think Colorado is very good. That's my personal opinion as well.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get boat raced.
But, so you're you're talking about the gambling line – so Oregon is favored by 21 in this.
Yeah.
I've not watched a lot of Oregon this year to make a – maybe I do that this week. But I almost want to take Colorado to cover.
I don't know, man. If that Oregon defense – if that Oregon – yeah, but see, the problem is I mean – Colorado's defense is terrible, right? We know that. If their offensive line, didn't look great this week either. And so, Oregon, I feel like is a much better team than defensively than Colorado State. It's going to come down to the Oregon pass rush, right? Are they going to be able to get
right.
You know, do they have the guys like Colorado State was able to harass Shadur all night? Can Oregon do that same thing? So going back to the Clemson Florida State game, Florida State's only a 1.5 point favorite. And I don't know, Clemson has not looked great in my opinion, but I feel like, you know, they have the talent to be able to rise to the occasion, so to speak. But again, their offensive line is not good. And that Florida State defensive line is legit.
Yeah, and this is kind of that moment game, right? That statement game. Is it going to be Clemson still being Clemson dominating the ACC, or has Florida State finally turned the page, so to speak, and ready to stake their claim as the new big boy in town? So in the conference, their defensive line is just, it's unreal. So it's hard for me to believe that Clemson is going to fare anybody any better than anybody else has to this point.
I mean, Boston College gave them a run, though. Maybe they were looking ahead.
Yeah, and that happens. I think Florida State's just a way more talented team with who they have. But it is at Clemson. So, man, that's tough. If it's me, I'm taking Florida State. I just think they're the better team right now. We talked about Colorado, Oregon. Up next at 3:30 would be Ole Miss at Alabama. Ole Miss ranks 15th. Alabama has slid to 13th now. Lane Kiffin, I think, is going to be fired up. Should have a lot of comments for Saban and crew. Could be a fun coach speak week if you're listening.
I mean, I'm sure Saban. 7 points seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, I don't get that. especially the way Alabama's, yeah, the way they've looked. I think Bama wins, but I think Ole Miss covers because I think this is a close game, maybe 2-3 points at most, in my opinion. And we've got number 22, UCLA, at number 11, Utah. Utah's had their moments where they look good against Florida and then not so much last week. And
that's another – I mean,
I think it hurts that Rising's not there.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Cam Rising's not back, man, I don't know. I think – I don't know that, I don't know that, that they beat UCLA. They did get Corinne Reed back on defense. That's good for them. He was back this week. But
is Rising supposed to be out much longer? I didn't think he was supposed to be out this long.
You know, I really don't know. I expect him to miss. I think he's either back this week or next week. I think, you know, if he's able to play, they're going to play him because I think they need him against UCLA to win.
Yeah, but I guess if you're winning without him, up to this point, you know, it's been okay to kind of set him and let him get fully healthy. But,
yeah,
I think they – to beat UCLA, they're going to have him this week, I think. And Utah's favored by 4.5. So, I think this will be another close game, too. Yeah. Then we get to the night games. Oregon State, 14th ranked versus 21st ranked Washington State. DJ looked pretty good up there. Uiagalelei, he looked pretty good for them up there.
I think the
haven't watched it.
Story of this game will be Oregon State's defense against Washington State's offense because Washington State offense has looked really good.
Yeah, it has. And Oregon State's favored by 2.5. So I could see that, you know. I could see them winning by field goal. Then we have 24th ranked Iowa at number 7 Penn State. Let's face it. It's Iowa's defense against Penn State's offense. That's going to be
the outcome, well, right? I mean, Penn State's defense is pretty damn good, too. So.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, Iowa's offense is it's horrible. So, unless their defense can really pull in a good game against the Nittany Lions offense, I just don't see them winning this game.
What did I was going to look it up? You know, was Brian Ferentz, the offensive coordinator at Iowa, he has that clause in his contract about them having to score, was it more than
24 points a game?
24 points or something like that. I was going to see what they scored last week because he needed to run that score up last week to get himself some. Now they scored 41. So, yeah. So they did kind of run it up. But, I don't see them going to get that chance again. Exactly. That was kind of what everyone was saying. He's going to have to run that score up to kind of get that average up. But I think most people felt like they needed to score like in the 60s to kind of get that average where it's going to need to be.
Do you think we'll see more of this where there's contract clauses that states, offense, you've got to score this many points, or defensively, you got to hold them to this many points on an average? That whole thing just kind of seems strange to me.
No, I think that was done to appease the fans, right? I mean, Kirk doesn't want to fire his son, so he put this goal in there for his son, and then he could say, well, you know, sorry, buddy, you fired yourself. I didn't fire you. I mean, maybe that's the play. I'm not sure.
Maybe. But
I think it was done to strictly appease the fans.
Right. Yeah, and they're definitely getting restless up there with that offense. Defense, they have no problem with. I think they're as good as any team in the country defensively. They do it year after year, right? So there's no use to change things there. But yeah, offensively, they're they're a little handcuffed, strapped. And then the last one is Ohio, which would probably be the maybe the best game of that. Number 6, Ohio State. Number 9, Notre Dame. Ohio State is a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, well, who do you like? I feel like Ohio State should win that game by more than 3.5. But their quarterback, I feel like their quarterback play hasn't been great. So, I mean, Notre Dame with Sam Hartman.
Yeah, they've kind of been mishitting, right? Some of their, they've not been hitting on all cylinders. It seems like Ohio State. Hartman looked good last week for Notre Dame. That looks to be a great portal get for them. I don't know. I think Ohio State's a more talented team, and I'm kind of with you. I think they should win that game. But their quarterback play's been a little off, and like I said, they've been a little hit or miss. Maybe this is the get right week. You know, big matchup, top 10 matchup. So we'll have
I mean, maybe they'll put it all together and really show everybody what, you know, they'll have that mentality. Hey, this is our opportunity to kind of show them that we're still here.
Yeah. And they kind of have to, right? Because Michigan's still the big dog right now in the conference. So you don't want to look.
Yeah, they didn't look great last week either.
Off, right?
They won, but they didn't look good last week. No, they sure did not. He had like 2 interceptions. And I mean, they're playing Bowling Green, but they actually had 3 interceptions.
Well, that's rough.
And Ohio State blew out Western Kentucky,
which
shouldn't be a shock. I mean, it's –
right. They were a lot of – you know, Texas handled Wyoming pretty easily.
Well, not – but it took them a while. Texas didn't get going until late in that game.
Yeah, like I said, it was a weird Saturday. Georgia got a late, you know, got going late. Texas kind of got going late. Alabama struggled. Tennessee lost.
South Alabama beat the brakes off of Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, 33-7 at Oklahoma.
I was shocked about that.
They paid South Alabama, I think, like $300,000, and South Alabama came in and whipped them.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was a little surprised BYU beat Arkansas too, because I didn't think BYU had looked all that great up to this point.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a strange one. I keep saying that, but it was such a weird week. I mean, Florida State struggled too. Duke looked pretty good against Northwestern. Are you buying into the Duke hype that they're for real? Or,
I mean, I think they're a decent team. I mean, I don't think they're not an elite team, but I think they're a decent team. They're probably a back half top 25 team, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're ranked 20. Well, they was 21st coming in after beating Northwestern. Good quarterback, Riley Leonard. I don't think he's super special, but he's a good quarterback they can win with, especially if they play defense. So,
yep. I think, like, I mean, 21st. That's about where they are, I feel like.
Yeah, I was trying to look to see. If there was anything else that kind of stood out to me, Pittsburgh 17-6 to West Virginia. That was a big rivalry game that everybody was kind of watching. I don't know. Week 3, you know, it's, even though you start into your conference schedule for most teams, week 3, it wasn't one that we've seen a lot of big top 25 matchups, right? You were kind of still like I don't want to say cupcakes, but you were playing some lesser well-known opponents. I think this week is when you really start to see some of the big games unfold, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think Boise State, San Diego State on Friday night, I think that could be a good game. Well, that's a late one, but yeah. Auburn, Texas A&M could be a good one at noon. SMU, TCU could be a decent one. I'm trying to look down to see who else. Just some weird games going on. But yeah, that'll do it for this week. Unless you have something else, Justice.
No.
Week four will be in the books, so maybe we'll start looking at some different things we can talk about. If you've got some ideas you want us to talk about, let us know. Trades, questions, whatever, rosters, breakdowns. We're glad to help. So let us know. Reach out to us. You can follow Justice at Justice_2318. You can follow me at Hollywood Titan, and you can follow us both at DavyIDP Grind on Twitter. Please rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Stitcher, all those good ones. Go over to our YouTube page. Give us a like and a subscribe there, if I can talk, and help us grow. We will be back next week with week four. Good luck to everyone on their fantasy leagues. Unless you're playing me, then I hope you lose. So other than that, I think we're in good shape.
Yes, sir. See you next week.
Later.